It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Being a loyal listener is like being part of an exclusive club or a really weird cult. A tradition better than Sunday dinner with the family. Coming to you live from Atlanta, it's the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
For joining us, the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio, the last hour. You get to join us, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios when you need certainty in the home buying process and the ability to adjust your loan options in real time. Rocket Mortgage can help you out. And I'd really like to thank the folks at Rocket Mortgage for consistent patronage of this program and their friendship with this network. You guys are incredible, absolutely awesome, and I thank you for years of support. Because you listeners are the best on all their local affiliates, on SiriusXM 206, on the radio.com app, at CBSSportsRadio.com, where you can get the podcast. You guys are awesome. But I promise you, in today's day and age, you need to have the advertisers. That's how they keep the lights on. That's how they keep radio going, and I appreciate you being a part of everything we've got going on here over the years at the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Final hour. And Pete, I already told you, Pete Prisco will join us coming up around 20 minutes past the hour. I'm shocked. I mean, I'm shocked. It's finally the final hour, and it's coming here. It has been a long time. 15 years. And I was doing an interview with a buddy of mine, Matt Chernoff, out of Atlanta, who I have not spoken publicly about my departure from 680 The Fan in Atlanta, or about my new gig in a interview-type format, radio-type format. And I sat down with Matt Chernoff the other day, one of my old coworkers here at 680 The Fan, and did the tell-all that will air tomorrow. So I put it out on my Twitter feed. If you get a chance to listen in on the podcast, I think it'll be worth your time. Some of it may be a little insider if you're not from Atlanta. But if you wanted to listen, you can listen. But I was very quiet. I was very quiet when I exited my show after 20 years in Atlanta. And this show for 15 years has been amazing. And I had a radio executive who just spoke to me last week, checking in with me about my new job in Philadelphia, which you can follow on Twitter, find out my station, download the app, and you can listen it if you wish, and I wish you would. And this radio executive said to me, he goes, John, you've held two jobs in radio since the turn of the century. You've held two jobs. You've been at CBS Sports Radio, and you've been at ESPN Radio nationally. But it's the same job, the John Kincaid Show, and you did a local show for 20 years. He said, if nothing else, you are one of the most blessed guys in radio to be able to do that. And I really feel that way. I do feel blessed. I feel blessed because I've had great bosses at both networks. Great bosses who believed in this show. Great bosses and great affiliates that local PDs that would step up in support of this show and try to air as many hours of this show as possible. The local PDs, I appreciate you. Local hosts at affiliates of the show that would invite me on during the week to be guests on their radio shows that in turn assists their show but promotes my show. And there is a lot of kindness in the industry when you look for it. It's an industry where I really feel like a lot of people aren't happy for each other. When one guy or one lady has success, a lot of people will, you know, they'll retweet something or whatever. But there's a lot of people who clearly are not happy for your success. I am glad to be happy for other people's success. And I said it earlier when Marla was on with us, one of our first members of the staff here at the John Kincaid Show at CBS Sports Radio. There's nothing better for a host. And I don't think there's anything better for your resume. And think about this if you're a young host or if you're a guy in the or a lady in the business and you're coming up. There's nothing better. You know how they talk about the Belichick coaching tree, the Andy Reid coaching tree, the Gruden coaching tree, whatever it is? There's nothing better than if you have a tree in this industry. If you have a bunch of people who worked on your show who then go on to do great things and succeed, that's the best thing in the world. When people leave the nest that they work on and they go and then they have great success, there's nothing better because that's what we all want. That's what we all want for each other, and that's what we want. Steve in Manhattan joins us on the John Kincaid Show. Steve, how are you?
Hey, John, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good to hear from you, man. What's going on?
Hey, yeah, so you've been on the network now, what, 7, 8 years?
8 years. Day one. I was a day one employee, yes.
8 years. I mean, you're pretty consistent. I can't believe they kept you on for 8 years, though. I mean, pretty lousy takes you've had. I mean, your record against the spread. I mean, what would that be? I mean, people are probably losing money left and right with you.
Well, you thought COVID was bad for the economy? Betting my picks over the years? Far worse.
Oh,
far worse.
Sure. John,
I mean, absolutely.
Moralia, I was your first producer.
Moralia, what are you doing, dude? And I wanted to say it, but I didn't want to say your name on the air in case it wasn't you.
The problem is Pierno put me up to it. I agreed to it. After everything that you said leading into my call, I felt bad. I said, "Oh man, I don't know."
You're another one who left the nest and found a better life for yourself.
Yeah. I'm at DraftKings now, working there. So once you get up to Philly, you've got to download the top-rated sports book in America.
Oh, you see.
There you go.
There you go. I like that you get that in there. I expect you will have DraftKings spending money on my radio show.
I'm expecting that.
I have a feeling you might, too. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, and listen, John, once you get up there, well, you know, it's a short drive down from the city, so love to get together. I know you know all the stomping grounds in Philly, so you can take me to the best Italian restaurant that you know of in Philly.
Well, once they let people eat inside again. Because, it's really interesting is that it's weird because I've been living my life the last 2.5 months seeing my mom before she passed, and then now doing this, getting ready for the new job. I've been living between two cities, and it's like two different pandemics. I mean, it's completely different.
Get ready when you come back up to the Northeast because it's real up here.
Yes, I mean it's unbelievable the difference. Steve, I'll definitely do that, and good luck to you guys, man. And I'll talk to you soon. All right, reach out.
All right, John, thank you. Great connecting again.
Thank you, man. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS, and it's sponsored by our friends at GEICO. Whether you rent or whether you own, my friends at GEICO want to make it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home's hard work, so get a quote at GEICO.com. They make it that easy. And GEICO, again, as I thank people today, and I thank the listeners, and I thank everybody else, thank you so much, the people at GEICO, for their fine support of this show over the years. For finding a way to constantly put your money behind a program and put your money behind a network. We really appreciate it. Really do appreciate it. It's good companies like that keep things like this going on. Anthony, my picks, though, have just been, they went off the rails.
Terrible.
Remember, you know what's great is that our friend RJ Bell, because just 3 years ago, RJ Bell said I had one of the best years that he'd ever seen any host have.
You did.
With documented picks. I think it was at 68%, something like that.
It was a special year.
And everything's gone to crap since. Much like when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Much like it. You know, you had that big moment. And then since then, Depends Undergarments has been dying to try to, to endorse my picks. It's just been awful. Absolutely awful. That was great to hear from Steve in Manhattan. It's unbelievable. So it's going to be different, Anthony. Living back in the Northeast after being down here. Because honestly, last week, So I'm up in Philly last week getting ready for the new radio show and meeting people and putting in some time trying to, you know, cross paths and find out what's going to go on. And the it's so different with the pandemic. With the it's completely different. And then I come home here and it's completely different in Atlanta. It's like there's two different worlds.
Yes.
Going on.
Here where I am in New York City, we're going to be closing indoor dining starting tomorrow again.
And they're doing it in Philly, too. They're doing it in Philly, too. Closing indoors. I don't understand it, but they're doing it. What else do you got for me today? You got a clip? You done
so,
up something?
So, Pete Prisco, of course, again, we're reflecting back on your very first show, January the 6th, 2013. And as you had mentioned, we have Pete Prisco coming up in the next segment, and he will be your final guest here on CBS Sports Radio, which is fitting because, as you mentioned, he was your very first in 2013. So let's take a listen to that.
If you are smart and you're an NFL fan, you try to get your opinions from a lot of different people. Some of them don't sugarcoat their opinions. They don't try to win popularity contests. And that's why this guy, who's extremely popular with me, sometimes doesn't win popularity contests. He gives it to you straight. He's Pete Prisco, CBS Sports. And he joins us now on the CBS Sports Radio Newsmaker line. And Pete, got to tell you, it is a pleasure to be on the same team as you, finally.
Yeah, welcome to the club. Boy, it's got to be exciting for you guys over there. It really is, huh?
It really is. And I got to know, Pete, though, I nothing changed in my perception of Matt Schaub yesterday, but I'm reading a lot of things today that somehow he's been validated because he beat the Cincinnati Bengals. I knew you'd give me a clear perspective on this.
Yeah, I thought the exact opposite, in fact. My thing is, they went to New England, December 10th on that Monday night, and they were riding high. And he went in there and had to prove to people he could win that game. They were destroyed. He was bad. In the game since, he hasn't been the same quarterback. He's been jumpy in the pocket. He hasn't been able to read the field. He's made bad throws. He's taken the easy throws. And I thought yesterday, for all the numbers he put up, and they were decent numbers, they weren't great, but they were decent numbers, there was still something missing. And what's missing is he's not making the big throw down the field when the opportunity is there. He's getting out of the pocket too quick. And, you know, the pick six was horrendous. So you add it all up. I don't buy it. I think they go to New England. To beat New England, you got to be able to throw the football and stay point for point with Brady, and he can't do it.
Pete Prisco, thank you so much for joining me on the inaugural edition of the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
By the way, I didn't see Friday's General Hospital yet. I heard it was very good.
I did. I did, and I will not give away the details.
They have more car accidents on that show than any place in America.
Especially right around New Year's. Poor Charles, the roads are very scary. The roads are scary in Port Charles. And wherever there's an accident on General Hospital, it's the same stretch of road. If they had had any kind of effective leadership by Mayor Laura Collins, she would have that road closed. Because the same set is used every time there's a car accident. They use the same side of the road, Anthony. They use the same, like, guardrail. Same thing. I'm like, okay, if Laura of Luke and Laura fame, who's now the mayor, Jeannie Francis, Laura Collins, If she was smart as the mayor, she would shut down that stretch of road. But she never has. She just hasn't done it.
And by the way, Pete was not only your first guest, but he also was the on your second show. He was on your third show. I stopped listening after that. But
he was early
yes,
on?
Yes.
I think we had some arrangement early on. I think there was some arrangement when we first started.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long it continued on, but the first three shows he was on.
But I think it was an arrangement early on where we were trying to, when we were establishing the network, to try to make sure that we were establishing that there were CBS guests. Because I think there was a lot of that, like make sure we were promoting guests from CBS Sports. I think that back in the time. But believe me, there's no problem with me. No problem with having Pete Prisco on. Any time, I've got no problem with that. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. I look forward to so much, and one of them is catching up with a guy like Pete Prisco, and we'll do it next. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. If football is a religion, consider yourself in the front pew. back to the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, the final episode of the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Before I move to, I take the John Kincaid Show to Philadelphia full time. And I appreciate the 8 years on this network and the 15 total years between ESPN and CBS that I've been doing this show on Sunday mornings. And a frequent guest, a guy who always made time for me, and at all the Super Bowl shows, he would make time to come and see me and sit on the set and dice all things NFL and General Hospital and Young and the Restless. Here he is, Pete Prisco. Pete, haven't talked to you in a while. How you doing, buddy?
What is up, John? You're moving to Philly, huh?
Yes. It'll be a Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday. It is a... Now, most people are going south during the pandemic. I'm going north. You know, it's a little different. I'm going home.
Well, you're a Philly guy. You're a Philly guy, though.
Going home. I understand what it's like, and I'm very excited for the opportunity, but I'm going to miss this audience on Sunday mornings. Philly's a good place to start.
Yeah.
I mean, if you love to surmise, and you love to play both sides of the coin and discuss things when you're writing or you're opinionating. Who's the most to blame for the situation the Eagles find them in? And what do you think about the Jalen Hurts experiment that we will see exposed today?
Well, let me start with the Jalen Hurts experiment. I think it's the right time. And by the way, I was dead set against drafting him. But it's the right time because that offense is a mess. The offensive line is a mess. And I think you need to get somebody that can move a little bit better than Carson Wentz can move right now. I think Carson Wentz has taken a beating. I think his eye level has come down. He's looking at the rush. He's not getting the ball out, anticipating. He's just not the same quarterback. So maybe a little time away will do him good. I don't think, you know, right now Jalen Hurts is the answer, but he gives him a better option behind that offensive line. Who's responsible? I mean, you have to point to the coaching staff. They haven't developed certain guys, and they haven't developed Carson Wentz. When you invest that kind of money in a quarterback, you got to make it work. You have to make him become the player he used to be before that injury. And look, before that injury, he was in the MVP conversation. And now he's a struggling quarterback, so I put that on the coach staff.
And that is one of the things whereby, you know, you have to decide who's doing a good job, who isn't. I'm hearing Joe Judge talk right now that people are like trying to tell me that Joe Judge is the second coming of Vince Lombardi. I mean, I'm impressed by what he's done. But what have you seen from him? What have you seen from Ron Rivera? What do you believe about the coaching in the NFC East?
Well, I think Joe Judge has done a great job. You know, it all started in the summer, and, you know, everybody criticized him for running gassers and for all the hitting he did in camp. But I always go back to, you know, a story I can relate to firsthand. And when Tom Coughlin first was the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, he had 6 week training camp and beat the daylights out of guys. And I often asked him, I said, why did you do that? And he said, I had to weed out the guys who didn't want to be here. And Brian Flores did the same exact thing last year in Miami, and it almost went south on him. But the guys that wanted to be there bought in. And I think that's what Joe Judge did. And Ron Rivera is a good football coach. I mean, look, he's a heck of a coach. He's always been one. And he has a good defense. And that defensive line can get after the quarterback. So I think both those guys have done a really good job this season in the NFC East.
I'm not finding that I'm believing in any of the AFC contenders right now. The only one that I see ascending to the Chiefs' throne that's going to maybe storm the castle might end up being the Cleveland Browns. I know you have some conflicting thoughts on some of the teams towards the top in the AFC. I've read and I've heard you comment. Tell us about what you see as the landscape of the AFC right now.
Well, look, the Chiefs are the best team, but they haven't always looked their best, and that's a concern. The last couple of weeks, two of the last three games, they were pushed. They were pushed at home by Denver, who's not a good team. They were pushed on the road by the Raiders, who clearly have issues on defense. So they have flaws. The Steelers have all kinds of flaws, particularly their inability to run the football. Their offensive line hasn't been able to run block at all. You know, Buffalo, are they big enough on defense? People run on them. So I think you can go through the entire thing and pick them apart. The question with the Browns is this. Yeah, everything they do is predicated off that run game. What if the run game is shut down? What if somebody limits that run game? Can Baker Mayfield win the game with his arm? And that's to be determined. But so far it hasn't come to that because Kevin Stefanski's done a hell of a job with that run game and that offense.
I used to work for his dad. I did an internship in
Love
college.
His dad,
Ed Stefanski's a great dude. And I can tell you, that I can see some of the disciplines that he's got. I can see were disciplines that I think his father used as an athletic director, as a front office executive, and things like that. So I think Kevin saw it all.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm a big believer in Kevin Stefanski, and I met Ed 2 summers ago in training camp, and we sat on the sideline and talked. And one thing about the misperception about Kevin was that he was an analytics guy. He has the Philly in him. He's got an attitude and an edge. He's got the Philly in him, and that's a good thing.
Now, he doesn't ignore the analytics. I think he listens to bright people, but I would believe he's always going to go with what he thinks is right from his football IQ, not from a spreadsheet.
Look, he's a heck of a coach, and I'm glad you mentioned his dad, because his dad's a good man.
Yeah, he really is. It really is good. And so right now, is there reason to believe that if you're looking at the Saints sitting in the number one seed, their defense to me, Pete, it looks more special than the year they won the Super Bowl to me, because I thought that year they were doing it with a lot of turnovers. Like, it was like the turnover machine was causing their defense to look so great. They look more fundamentally sound to me. Like, this may be the best defense I've seen under Sean Payton.
You're probably right, and particularly because they can rush the passer. And that was the major issue going into the season. We knew Cam Jordan could rush the passer, but what about the other side? And now they've balanced it out. Trey Hendrickson is having a great year on the other side. You can bring in Davenport, he can rush the passer. They could do so many different things on the back end. Bringing Jenkins in has solidified the back end a little bit. And the linebackers, Demario Davis can fly to the football. So I agree with you 100%. I think that defense is actually what makes them a really good team right now. I mean, Taysom Hill's won 3 games, and he beat, Atlanta twice, and they're not very good, you know that. And
yes,
they beat Kendall Hinton playing quarterback, but the defense is why they're winning those games, not because of Taysom Hill.
The best job that's available this offseason, or the one that you anticipate will be open? The best job, and then the second best job, and if you could give me a third?
The best job is Jacksonville. And people will laugh when I say that, but think about this for a second. They have more cap room than anybody else. They have a bunch of young players who are playing right now and are going to be better. They will have the second overall pick in the draft, and they have two picks in the first round, and they have a ton of draft pick capital. That job, for anybody who thinks they can go into a place and turn things around, that's the best job. I would want that job. They have an owner who's willing to spend. He doesn't meddle. There's no state income tax, oh, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I think that job is fantastic, because you can build it and mold it any way you want to.
Jets second? I hear people saying Eric Bieniemy should run to Houston just because of the quarterback, but I see a lot of handcuffs there that may mean it's going to take a couple of years to get that thing turned around.
I'm a big believer in having the quarterback as the centerpiece. Clearly, he cures your ills, and he's a good quarterback, but they have so many other issues, and they don't have any, draft picks, and that's going to be a problem going forward. So you're right on that standpoint. The Jets will be an interesting job, because you got the number one overall pick, and you'll be able to trade Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold should wind up in San Francisco. This is the dominoes. The Jets trade Sam Darnold to the 49ers. The 49ers let Jimmy Garoppolo go, and he goes to New England.
There you go. Where does Cam go? Does he get another spot?
No, he's a backup now. I think Cam Newton's going to find himself being a backup quarterback. And look, his body has been beat to death. And that should be, exhibit A on even the biggest and the baddest and the toughest runner in the NFL. If you're playing that position at quarterback, try and develop and stay in the pocket, because the shots eventually wear your body down.
We have always bonded over two fictional towns, Port Charles and Genoa City. And right now, ranking 1-2, what's better right now, General Hospital or Young and the Restless?
I think it's General Hospital.
I do, too.
And I love Young and the Restless, by the way.
Sure you
do,
of course. Joshua Morrow will hear this on a podcast, by the way, and be pissed at both of us.
Well, look, I think there's some things are floundering on that show right now. I think there's stuff with Billy. That's good. That's getting good with the who shot, the
right,
guy
who shot
that,
Adam. Yes.
Yeah, but I think it's just floundering a little. They need to pick it. They'll pick it up. But GH, with all the stuff with Cyrus and everything, I think that's really good right now.
I like that Tad Martin is on the show. I like that Tad is, you know, is they've now with Martin Gray. You know he's going to end up being, I think they're Laura's brothers. I think
you
Laura.
Really do?
I think they're Laura's half brothers. I think that's
right.
I think that's why Cyrus doesn't want to kill her. I think that's why he doesn't want any harm to come to her. That's his sister that he's always wanted to get to know.
Julian's going to get got, huh?
Yeah, he's going to get got. He's going to get got.
Yeah, they wrote him off the show, and they wrote the girl off the show too, right?
Woman, Kim Nero. Yeah, but she's on Days of Our Lives again. So
you know what? I'll tell you this though. I'm glad they're back. I mean, for however long as they were gone, that was they were off for what, 3 months?
It was painful.
People think, oh, you watch soap opera? You're darn right I do. And you know what? So do a lot of athletes.
By the way, that's the thing that people don't realize. I mean, the hockey players, the basketball players. When we started to work together, Shaq and I started doing the podcast together, he could recite everything about Scorpio and Anna Devane and Luke and Laura, and a lot of the athletes in the afternoons. They'll take a nap. Or they'll get ready for a game and they watch the soaps like us. So, all right,
Pete. Billy on Young and the Restless he's a good actor, I think.
Jason Thompson. Yeah, he's good.
Very good.
He is good. He is good. All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Pete. I'll call you from Philly. Answer that call. Pete Prisco joining us, one of my favorites here from CBS.
And now. The end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Man, Anthony, one of my favorites.
But then again,
one of my favorites. One of my favorite songs of all time.
To mention.
And I'm going to tell you this, that hearing Frankie there, I have no regrets. That's the one good thing about doing this show. I have no regrets. I have no regrets with how we did it. I have no regrets with about who I worked with. I have no regrets about the decisions we made to take the stances we did. That's the best part of doing a show or, you know, being in this business when you feel like, first of all, too, that you work with people that you feel you can have that freedom with and an audience that you feel you can have that freedom with. But, man, that gives me a little, that song gives me chills. Absolutely gives me chills. And I appreciate the fact that you've been a part of the John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Gotta love it. Thank you very much. So much. I want to get to so many phone callers if I can get in here before the end of the show. Richard in Myrtle Beach joins us. Richard, how are you, buddy?
Good, John. Gonna miss you. You got a lot of listeners down here, and all I know is Philly's gonna be in good hands with you up there.
Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to I wasn't looking to have my radio show end here or to leave, you know, and have things change like this, but to get to go home is an honor. And to get to be back with the people that I and the teams that I've always wanted, you know, that I've always rooted for and I've always wanted to talk about is a real exciting thing. I'm really looking forward to it.
I got one football college question for you. Plus, I was born right there in Philly at the Catholic Hospital there.
Wow, awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, Fitzgerald Mercy Hospital.
Sure, Fitzgerald Mercy.
Years. Huh?
Yeah, it's in Delaware County. That is where I grew up, too. I wasn't born there. I was born at Bryn Mawr, but same thing.
Yeah, it's close by. Let me ask you something. Coastal Carolina went 11-0. When they had an opening, they threw BYU in there, and people were thinking they couldn't handle BYU, but they did, and they won yesterday. My question to you is this. I know they're not going top four, but do you feel that Coastal Carolina deserves to at least be somewhere in the top 10?
Yes, absolutely. Top 8. Top eight. Looking at it this morning. I appreciate it, Richard. I got to run. But yes, they absolutely do. Kevin in Atlanta joins us. My last segment on Atlanta radio, and Kevin joins me. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, John. How you doing,
What's
buddy?
What's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, doing great. It was a pleasure meeting you those couple of times, and going to miss you here in the Atlanta market.
I appreciate that.
Hey, buddy, you know I'm a Bama guy. Please tell me Olivia is going to Bama.
I'm telling you, guess what? It will either be your Alabama or my Temple University. Right now, those are the leaders in the clubhouse. She's either going to be, it's going to just depend on whether she wants to go at a campus that has blown her away, at a school that has been laying out the welcome mat like Alabama, or whether she wants to be closer to mom and dad and go to dad's house. It's just going to be the thing, too. And I would say to these schools, ante up the money, and maybe she's Kevin, thanks so much, man. I'll catch up with you. Thank you, buddy. Brian in Maryland joins us. Brian, you're on the John Kincaid Show. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Brian.
I just wanted to say I'm going to miss you every Sunday morning. I'm first-time callers. I'm a little nervous. But I always made a point to set the alarm and get you every Sunday morning. I really love your show.
That makes me very proud. And you know, it takes a lot of people putting this show together that do it. So I'm speaking for everybody that's awesome.
I'm gonna take you way back. I'm 60 years old, and when you were talking about General Hospital,
yes,
my mother bought me a General Hospital outfit. It was the coat, the jacket they wore.
Wow,
this is like. Yeah, with the little plastic, hard plastic box with a fake stethoscope in it.
Wow. So Dr. Steve Hardy, you probably were Dr. Steve Hardy.
Yes, Dr. Hardy.
That's what it was, the Dr. Hardy. I mean, that's Steve Hardy. By the way, did you know he was a shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals?
No.
Dr. Hardy, Johnny Bernardino was a actor, but he had played in Major League Baseball before that. Brian, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Don't be nervous ever with me. Phil in Hanover, Pennsylvania joins us. Phil, I'm coming to your state, baby. I'm coming to your state.
I know, John. Thank you for being part of my routine over the last few years, work or going to breakfast. I've always got you on the radio, and I am so glad you're coming home. And as a Temple grad, I empathize with you with the poaching of our coaches.
Yes.
So
it happens all the time, doesn't it? Happens all the time.
It does. I mean, I was so happy Manny Diaz lost 62-26 yesterday.
Oh. Yes. Yes. I'll tell you this. I think good things happen to good people. So Manny's good. I hope you're going to listen to me in Philadelphia. I hope you get the app and listen in. So thank you, Phil. One more. Darren in Columbia, South Carolina joins us. Darren, you're on the John Kincaid Show.
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Darren. Doing all right.
I work third shift, so I get off at 7 o'clock every Sunday morning, and it takes me about an hour to get on the road and to finally get home, and then I find myself sitting in my damn garage. I mean, darn, and listening until I can't hold my eyes open, you know.
But that's awesome. I hope you turn the car off. Turn the car off.
Oh, I do. Okay, good. Turn the car off.
Good. You got to do that.
One is, I was told by a friend of mine that you were going to aggravate the ever-living heck out of me, and you did not disappoint.
Well, that's good, yes. I mean, you know what's great is when you can disagree with somebody and you can still come back and listen and have some fun, right? That's always the fun thing to do. That's always the fun thing. Anthony, you got another clip for me.
Yes,
right?
One final clip from your very first show here on the network, January 6, 2013. Your favorite team, the Philadelphia Eagles, they were looking for a new head coach. How about Chip Kelly?
I know the first station where I ever got to host a radio show, WIP, 610 a.m. in Philadelphia. There are folks there waiting to see who is going to be the Eagles' new head coach. Is it going to be Chip Kelly? And there seems to be some sort of a dogfight going on, and I know that's sensitive to you Eagles fans. Bad choice of words. Between Cleveland and Philadelphia right now, as to who's going to get Chip Kelly, and will he go and will he interview with somebody else, and will it become a protracted fight? I'm telling you this. I love the idea of Chip Kelly, I have grown up an Eagles fan, wanted in my whole life. Before I, you know, get put in a pine box, please allow me to see the Lombardi Trophy hoisted by the Eagles. And as much as I'm intrigued by Chip Kelly and what he could potentially bring to the table, I don't necessarily want to see my team do it. I don't want to see them be the ones to say, yeah, the Chip Kelly experiment, let's do it in the National Football League.
I think that was spot on. I think that was spot on. But Anthony, you know what? That's the first thing today that's really put like my made my eyes dampen up a little bit. Because from the time Olivia was born, and we would say prayers together, my wife and daughter and I, still to this day, we say prayers together at night. And I'll stop in and give her a kiss goodnight and everything. And I would say, from the time she was a little girl, we used to have two dogs. So I would say, dream of daddy, your puppy dogs, and the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. And from the time she was little, she was just, that was in the mix. That was in the mix. The Eagles winning the Super Bowl. And we prayed for it every single night. And the night that it happened, February 4th, 2018, not that I remember or anything, The minute that it happened, the minute the ball, the Hail Mary from Tom Brady hit the ground, and the Eagles were champions, my phone lit up, and it was FaceTime with my daughter. And she's on the phone, and she looks, and she's just weeping uncontrollably, as am I, just tears of joy. And she says, Daddy, Daddy, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. They did it. They won the Super Bowl, just like we prayed for. And all I could think of to say to her was, and you're 14. And you're 14. You only had to wait till you were 14 to see them finally win it. I was jealous of my own daughter. That's a bad dad. That's a bad dad moment. I was jealous of her that she only had to wait till she was 14. But it was one of the happiest moments like in the history of the show for me. That was absolutely one of the happiest.
And, John, I just want to say thank you.
Dude, you're freaking awesome to work with.
Producing can be a thankless job, and especially nowadays, you know, more and more responsibility put on our plates. And you always went out of your way. you know, usually the only time you hear from anyone is when something goes wrong.
Right.
But you always went out of your way to acknowledge my contributions and praise me for my efforts. And it meant a lot to me. So saying that, I also want to recognize some of the individuals that contributed to the program.
Sure.
Over the last 8 years. On the board, Marlo, who we talked to, Joe D., Duffy, Alex Metz. There have been others, but those were the prominent figures. And then producers, you don't even need five fingers. We're like the Pittsburgh Steelers coaches.
Yes.
Here. There was Moralia, there was Shep, there was Tom right. DiBenedetto. And then me. So, and Steve did, and Shep and Tom continue to do great work here at CBS. But, you know, when we had our board operator taken away, I was pissed. But, you know, I'm actually grateful that that happened, because it felt like I became your sidekick after that. And when people would call in or tweeted that they enjoyed listening to us, it made me feel so good. And so I just want to thank, thank you for giving me a voice on your show and interacting with me. You've been so supportive. You've been my biggest cheerleader here, and I thank you for that. I thank you for teaching me about the business. I've learned so much from you. But what I appreciate even more is our conversations off the air and the knowledge and the advice that you would give me just about life in general. So thank you for everything. Thank you for always looking out for me. I love you, and I look forward to being part of your team once again.
There you go. I'd love to have that happen. And I know that you are, Anthony, big plans for you. There's big things in the works for you. And the big thing is my phone will still work. My text will still work. And if you're making fun of my Eagles or something like that, or we're just busting each other's during the Mets and the Phillies or something like that, that'll be awesome. And I appreciate those kind words. And as we get ready to wrap up here, I got choked up a little bit listening to Anthony, because there's nothing, and I think we've learned it. We've learned it during the pandemic. We've learned it during some of the social uprising we've had in the country. We've learned that, I believe, lessons in the course of this show as a community, as a listening community, and otherwise, we've learned that we are one big family, and like a family has dysfunctional members, and family has disagreements at times, and family has issues with each other. As a society, it's been able to. This show has been something that's been very comforting to me. Because even in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of constant negativity that I believe the media embodies, this show, this audience, the people I work with behind the scenes, and the people we interact with on a weekly basis on this radio program, to me, gave me great hope. And as I embark on a new journey, and I have people say, well, why are you leaving? Why are you leaving? I'm leaving because of my wife and daughter. And that's because after 15 years, I know that on the weekends, I need to be able to devote myself to the mandate that I was given by my wife to rest, relax, recharge, because she worries about my health constantly, but also to be able to travel so I can go to I can go from Philly to Atlanta and see the girls, or the girls can come up from Atlanta and see me in Philly, and we can spend some quality time together where I don't have to worry about working. And so that's the agenda behind all this. But you blessed me, CBS, with this seat for 8 years after 7 years with ESPN. And for 15 years, I've been doing this on Sunday mornings. And thanks to every single one of you that made it possible. And I hope you'll follow me. Follow on social media at John Kincaid. Follow me to my new home in Philly. Download the app. Listen in. Interact with me. And stay a part of my radio family. Thanks, Mike McCann. Thank you to Anthony Pierano, the best in the business, at Tony Pierano. Be sure to follow him. Have a great week, everybody. Stay tuned, and I will see you down the road.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.